Bread aisle, are you ready to rock? Dave's Killer Bread is the country's number one organic bread for a reason. Always delivering killer taste, killer texture, and killer nutrition. This isn't bread. This is bread amplified.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Bolton from Bolton, the show where my brother Josh and I set each other up for lively hockey talk and banter. And of course, we're in the middle of our 2020 Stanley Cup special series. I mean, it's a special series. It's just what's going on, I guess, in hockey. So whatever's going on in hockey is what we're talking about. But the first thing I want to bring up is something that is related. And it was as a result of these people getting knocked out is this lottery. The draft lottery. I had my friend Jason ask me what I thought about that. Like, is it a consolation for teams to have got a chance at a lottery? Do you have any comment on that before I say my piece? And on what happened?
Well, I don't know. The draft lottery, I can see why they did it. But, I mean, if you're having a tanking contest and you are – someone who can lose on demand, then maybe you deserve the number one pick. Like, that's got to be hard to do. So, I mean, I'm either way about the lottery, but I mean, I don't really have any deep thoughts on it in general, I guess.
Yeah. How about the New York getting it? How do you feel about that in general? As a anything?
I think New York getting it is probably the best case scenario because they're probably the team that needs someone like that the most out of the teams that got knocked out. Really, when you think about it, I mean, Nashville's pretty loaded. Pittsburgh's pretty loaded.
The Leafs.
The Oilers are fairly loaded. The Leafs are pretty loaded, honestly, like they are. Like, yeah, I think a team like the Rangers, they have a lot of good players, but they don't have that identity right now. They're sort of just the New York Rangers. And they need that one face to come in and just take over the team and put it on its back. And I think a lot of the other teams already have – they're a little more established right now in this era. Yeah. So I think Rangers are looking for that next era.
Right, I see. Yeah, you've got like the Breadman came in, Panarin comes in, right, and he's an MVP candidate. But it's not necessarily like that identity and that kind of fresh player like you look at Austin Matthews or Sidney Crosby, and it's their team and this whole thing. So maybe he could be a guy that kind of brings some fun, like fresh life into it. Got Zibanejad going crazy in there, right? But like – It's not that fresh young face. So
At the same time, I remember they're interviewing Alex Lafreniere, and it's like I was thinking to myself, well, what if they don't even pick him? Like, maybe they go off the board, right?
So. That did occur to me for a second, and that stuff is funny, but it just I don't know. So when my friend first put that question to me, I thought. Yeah, I guess you could say, you know, for half a second, you get a bit of hope. So you imagine pre the draft pick or the lottery, then you get these guys that are knocked out. And then for a second, you get excited and people are talking about it. And you have this little like fun little flicker in your heart and go, maybe, you know, the Pens will pick it up. The Leafs fans are going, what if it's a consolation? At least maybe we have a chance, 12.5, and you're feeling it. And then you get picked and it's all over. So it really, you ask them now, was it much of a consolation? No, it was not a consolation at all. Nobody wanted to lose and think in the back of your mind, you get 12.5 if you lose. Nobody was hoping for that, right? Because I wouldn't take that chance. You want to play. So, and as far as New York getting it, all good. Yeah, it is a little anticlimactic because you expect what would happen if it were the Leafs got it or the Penguins or Oilers, somebody, people would be losing their minds. But it is, it's a good fit, feels good. I like it. Anyway, I just want to mention that one and get it out there because it was a question I was going to take up before the lottery, but we just never had time. So taking it up after the fact is kind of fun.
And the best thing is, did you see the video of the balls? Like,
yes.
There's a little... the video of the Toronto Maple Leafs ball, like rimming out almost just seconds before the Rangers ball got sucked up. It's the most hilarious thing. People have slow-mo'd it and they're calling it like the John Tavares post hit almost.
Oh no.
It's hilarious. Like,
I did not see
they
that.
Were like a millimeter away from getting, it was like boom off the side, rimmed out. And then the Rangers ball went right up behind it. It was hilarious.
That's it. Well, get the conspiracy theories going for that. The Rangers have rigged it.
There is conspiracy theory because when the guy took the ball over first, he was showing all the teams. He held the ball like this, put it over, and then they dropped him into the chute. But he holds it for the second like this over the chute to show people that it's the logo. Mm-hmm. And with the Rangers ball, he brought it over and held it, and it like slipped from his hands and dropped right in. And then he had to pick it back out of the chute to show the logo and then drop it back in again. So they're saying, well, it must have been weighted or a magnet or something.
Right. The guy couldn't handle it. Yeah. Right. Oh, my God. Well, good luck with all that conspiracy theories. Get the tinfoil hats on and, you know, have a beer. All right.
Because we all know the NHL fights for the Rangers all the time. They always want the Rangers to succeed.
Yeah, yeah. That's the league's all about the Rangers. So, okay, now on to some hockey now. We had the, this is a few games in some of the series. It's either 1-1 or 2-1 in most of the series at the time of this recording. But in the first game of the Tampa and Columbus series, we had that crazy quintuple OT. What would you call that? Anyway, is that what they call it? I don't know. Anyway, fifth OT.
I have no idea.
Yeah. Anyway, so, I mean, we have to comment on this and a few things you saw in it. So what, you know, what do you make of any of that, Josh?
Well, the one thing that I think about all the time is how many things I did while that game was going on. That's kind of...
I mean, how did it go down for you?
I got home at work from work at 4. I'm like, oh, this is great. I leave work at 3:30, 20-minute drive. I'll be home just in time, settle in for the game. It's exciting. And it's an early game, so I'll still have an evening after. I can watch the other games or do whatever I want. Yeah, right. So I had that game on, walking around, and I'm pretty sure there was another game on, like, kind of simultaneously. And so I, on the intermission, I would flip through that to that. But then overtime hit and it's like, okay, well, it's, I mean, I barbecued a steak dinner while the game was going on. And then I ate that. And then I cleaned up after that. It's like, well, I can't get a break here. And then all of a sudden it's time for kids' bedtime snacks. So you're doing that. And then we do the bedtime routine. I went out and jumped on the trampoline with them during one of the overtime intermissions. Like, you're just trying to live your life around this game. And you're like, at some point, you're just like, well, this is exciting and all, but my goodness, could it just end so I could move on to something else? Like, I just feel unsettled. Like, I can't quite commit to anything right now. Mm-hmm. And then, like, I even told the kids at 9:30. So it was 4 o'clock when I got home and it was 9:30 and they're just getting settled in bed. And I'm like, well, you know what's interesting, kids? Like, that game I started watching at 4 is still on. And they're just like, what? Holy jumper. Like, what's going on? And then I went downstairs after and watched another hour of it. Like, mm-hmm. It was my whole evening from the time I got work to the time I went to bed. It was this game. So I can only imagine what it was like to be a part of it.
To be a part of it, yeah. And I bet you a lot of people have these similar stories, people who are really locked in and looking forward to certain things, and then it just took them off. Now, mine was a little bit different. I remember I got up in the morning. The game is ongoing as I get up in Korea. My wife and I decided to go down to a Starbucks local one and get some coffee in the morning. And then you text me and said, hey, do you know what's going on? Because I watch the games later. I come back and I watch them whenever I want on my thing, because I'm never going to get them live anyway. And then you go, oh, well, I'll tell you something. I said, it's okay if you tell me. And you said, it's a fifth OT. I was like, what? So I'm walking home with my wife and I thought, I'm going to go check this out when I get home. And you gave me a couple updates and I said, okay, I'm going to. And then finally I got home and said, I'm watching now. And then I watched a minute later, Braden Point's scored. So I watched that whole epic thing. You had your whole day. I watched a minute of it and saw the goal. I guess, you know, I don't know what to make of that story. Now, I want to say something about the goal. Those shots are so crazy. You see them all the time, and they're great to have when they land on your stick like that, when the puck's up on the side, and you just know I'm slinging this towards the net because nobody can deal with it. As long as I hit the net, I'm probably going to score. And I'm sure he felt that great thing. He was in a great position. Puck came up on that edge, and he just whipped it, and it just went up in the top. It's really hard for goalies to read that coming off the stick, and they just – They knuckle a bit. There's nothing you could do with that. Anyway. Well,
we all know the knuckle pucks hit the net 1 in 5, and he happened to get that 1 in 5.
Yeah, the knuckle puck. So this OT brings up a few questions, though, of course, right? And one of them was this idea of the shootout, and people are, you know, or the OT versus the shootout. People say we should have a shootout in hockey. We should have, you know, just a lot of suggestions about how to not have games go on like that. So what do you think about any of these suggestions? What do you think about a shootout in hockey? What do you think about the long OT, etc.?
I don't know why anyone doesn't want games to go on like that. That's, I don't understand why anyone would not want that to happen. I mean, it's the greatest way to settle a game. There is no better way to do it. A stupid. I wasn't going to go on. I was going to let you say what you thought, but I can't help it. Shootouts are stupid. Shootouts are so stupid in every sport. It's like playing a whole different kind of game. Honestly, it really is. It's like, let's play hockey for a little while, and if we don't like it, we'll play a round of crazy eights to decide the winner. That's the same thing to me.
I'm on board. I'm telling you, man, that's what I said. Like I think my friend again texted me and said something, and I wrote back. I was like, that's why hockey's awesome, because we're manly. We play real games for stakes, and we play till we get a winner. Right now in the regular season, we understand that it's kind of like, yeah, we're going, but okay, I'll see you later. Well, I'll agree to flip, you know, do whatever, and we'll have a semi skill in it, play a round of crazy eights to get the points and see. Regular season's all about a different game where you're trying to build yourself up to get into the playoffs and get ready and all that stuff. Then when it's on, it's on. You play. It's war. Like, what is this shootout? I mean, it annoys me in soccer for years. It just seems almost like you're a World Cup champ. Like, you just, you know, you can just hire, you just, you know, there's a few, some things, like I know that some particular, some people are really good at shootouts. They just have this different kind of thing. You could bring on these kind of people to be on your team, to be in a shootout, because they know how to, it's almost like you get these guys who can like juggle in a, like a street busker or something, right? They can like do tricks that nobody in soccer can do. Right. But they would be ineffective on a soccer pitch. Right. So you could bring that guy in to be your shootout guy, and you're going to be a World Cup champ. Like, what is this? Like, it doesn't, none of that ever makes any sense to me. Yeah. Like, and I had my other friend Warren is a goalkeeper in soccer. Right. And he used to say he played at some different level. He played at various levels after he was done with the university level and in various places. And he always thought that people who didn't play soccer, very well, were harder to stop on a penalty shot because they didn't know where they're kicking it. So how can he read anything, right? So he had a hard time stopping them. So shootout. Now soccer shootout is different than a hockey one, but still the whole thing. So there's something in it. They're kind of fun in the regular season to see some of the moves. Like imagine a Datsuk doing a move like that. But even in the regular season, I'll just go first. I won't even ask it. I'll tell you, put it out there. I'm not down with it either. I'm down with play 3-on-3. And I even think that it's faster to play 3-on-3. If they don't score after 5 minutes, drop the puck again, keep going. By the time they actually stop the whole thing, scrape the ice, and they have to allow 3 minimum for each one, right? How many minutes is that? 3 or 4 or 5 minutes? 6? How long does it take? Just somebody's going to score by then on 3-on-3, 3v3. So, I mean, if you're trying to speed up the game, 3-on-3 is, I bet you on average, is going to make things faster. And then sometimes they do go like 8 rounds. Not often, but still. So I don't get it. Like even regular season, go the 3-on-3. That's cool. Now playoffs, I don't want to see any 3-on-3, but in regular season, so I'm not down with the shootout anywhere.
I love the 3-on-3 in the regular season. I just like 3-on-3, but at the same time, I hate that they have shootouts and I hate that they change anything, because basically they're saying we'll have a shootout in the regular season because we need to cut the game short. But in playoffs, it's way too important. So we'll do it. But how many teams have made the playoffs just because of the amount of points they got in a shootout compared to another team? To me, those games are just as important. I don't see why they can't end in a tie. Why does there have to be a winner? I'm not against that. I know why they tried to change it. But I think if you're going to do something like that, then you got to make it 3 points for a win and have a tie or something. Or like, because you shouldn't get any points. For being like, you shouldn't get any extra points for going to OT and then versus a shootout and all that. And then you have your standings, like shootout losses versus OT losses versus, you know, if you lose in regulation, I get that you should be punished more than someone who drags it to overtime. But at the same time, like, it kind of defeats the purpose when you force teams to win instead of allowing them to walk away with a point anyway. Like, it's just, why does there always have to be that extra point?
Exactly. And that's another thing. And one of the things they talk about, it's so hard for teams to leapfrog or get through a slew of teams ahead of them to break through that because these 3-point games, because everybody's getting points, right? What if they didn't? Right. What if the two teams ahead of you only got a point? But you're like, I got two teams that are competing against my team and they're playing that night. I'm like, somebody's getting 2 points. I'm not going to be able to leapfrog one of them. Like, it's guaranteed. And it's like, and then I'm just like, all I can hope for is regulation wins. So at least one of them doesn't get points, but somebody's getting two. Every time somebody's getting two, that sucks. Like, I want to be able to give people a chance to make comebacks here. Draws, I'm down. Like, anyway, so let's get on this now. The so a few more game scenarios. Let's talk about some of these game scenario situations. One of them is the empty net, right? What do you think about going for the empty net when they pull the goalie?
Well, I always think back to, I don't know why, because maybe it's because I'm an Oilers fan and you have to live off the past performances of your players instead of your current ones. But the Jordan Eberle World Junior Championship comeback goal, I always think back to the Russian players who had a couple of shots at the empty net and they iced the puck and they kept giving Canada faceoffs and they were like giggling about it, going, oh, almost got that one, huh? Too bad, right? And then next thing you know, 4 seconds left or whatever, it's in the back of your net and you lose in overtime. And I always wonder, like, what if they didn't go for that empty net? And it used to be, don't be selfish, don't go for the glory, just get it over the blue line and work your butt off to keep them from getting back in. And now it seems more and more people have the mentality that they you just go for it because you could end the game right then. Take the chance. Mm-hmm. So I'm still of the mindset where if it's a one-goal lead, you don't take a shot at the net all the time. Mm-hmm. You just work hard to get it out of the zone. And if you have your shot, take it, but don't force a shot from your own end. If it's a two-goal lead, I'll think about it more. I'll say, yeah, maybe have your shot.
Okay. I'm going on. I'm like, I want people to feel a little more free about shooting towards the net, but it still is, scenario specific to me. So you get to read and react a bit. But it is true. When we were young, it used to be you do not shoot for the empty net until you get across the red line. You got to make the red line and then you shoot for the net. Never before. And it was like, no matter what, it was just like so selfish and so bad. And you just chip it in, get off or whatever. But I find there's a lot of people who are in board battles and they get the puck and then they think like, well, I'm not allowed to ice it. So I make little soft little plays and or they hang on an extra half second stressed out and then they get a turnover or they don't get it out at the point. And I'm saying if you're kind of stuck in a board battle and the puck's fishing there, it's really frantic, then yeah, give it a hard shot. Go ahead. Give it a hard shot and get it out of there and might as well try for the net. That's me more opening up or freeing people up to think that it's okay to do that. But it is true. If I'm skating up to the blue and I have full control and there's a couple guys in my face, I might just chip it off the boards and not for an icing, right? I might not shoot if I can't get it through them. But for most part, I'm actually looking for it. Two goals, I'm saying, go for it, man. I mean, because again, you can end the game. And the chances, like how big are they? You can probably, a lot of guys can hit the net, right? You might get it in. And then at the worst case scenario, you get an icing. With, you know, bear down. It's an icing. Like, it's a face-off in your own end. It's not like, oh, they're going to score now. They got a face-off in your end. There's still a lot of chance to block them again and then get it out the next time or get a shot. So, I mean, you try to do it, but I'm getting off the glass hard. Not, well, I don't want to get it. I'll go it off, kind of light off the glass because I don't want to, you know, go for an icing. Then the guy keeps it in. Like, these guys are all over you. It's like, get it out, right? And you might as well,
right.
If you get it out, get it to the net.
So. I don't care about that. Like, situational, yes, go for it. Because if you feel like you're in a situation where you need to ice the puck, you might as well try and put it in the net while you're doing it. Mm-hmm. And it's funny you say that because, like, there's other scenarios where I'm totally all for icing. Like, if a player drops their stick, like loses their stick for some reason, is stuck in the corner, and there's no way they're going to get it, or if your goalie drops the stick, like, mm-hmm. Why are we fishing around and trading sticks with other players? Just get the puck and shoot it down the ice. Deal with it. Everyone gets
with Lucky Land Slots. You can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick, so I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper? a woo-hoo-er, a hand clapper, a high-fiver. I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited
by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. Stick. I was going to bring it up. I think I mentioned this to you a year or two ago. I'm a big one. I want to change the culture. If you're a coach out there, anybody out there, young people, like, and pros as well, if someone breaks their stick and then you're going around, we got one guy without a stick, he's up at the point and he's doing this one, dancing with his feet, and the guys are playing around, and then the puck gets in the corner and you're into a board battle, even before that, as soon as that's down, your mentality now is ice the puck. Like, get it, hack it, like, knock it out. That your whole mentality reset with five guys with sticks. Do not think about, oh, again, I don't want to ice it, like, you know, chip it off the boards, like make a safe play. What are you doing? Get it out, get the guy a stick, and then start again. It's way better. I don't even understand that. So what I would want to do is, as a coach, is create that idea that this is just like an automatic thing that everybody understands that just happens. It's just, this is what the game is now. When a guy loses a stick, the game is now. See if we can get ice it before they can score. Like, that's just where my mind's at.
Wow. Okay. So the reason almost both these scenarios, well, not the broken stick so much, but the Colorado game today, Colorado, Arizona, was super tight. Colorado scored with, like, I don't know, 2.5 minutes left or something like that. Mm-hmm. And then they had a chance to ice the, they had a chance to take a shot at the empty net. I can't remember who it was, but they shot. It was a really good shot. It was actually going in the net, but then the puck rolled on its edge and then started to turn and just grazed the outside of the post. Mm-hmm. But there was also another situation in those dying 2 minutes, same thing, where a Colorado player had the puck, and he did like an intentional icing bank pass off the boards. It's like, I don't know if he was shooting for the net or not, but it went wide on the net, hit the backboards and bounced right out. And another Colorado player had anticipated that and took off down the ice.
Yeah.
And he actually had a one-timer and just missed the net or something.
Yeah, he blew that. But it's like,
you can use the icing to your advantage. You
saw that, did you? I think Rantanen. Okay, yeah. I think he missed. And then he got knocked over and stuff. But yeah, you can use that stuff. Yeah, and guys, and also that's what I've been thinking too. Like, our idea is we're shooting the puck out hard. We're not risking turnovers in our end. That's the worst thing you could do. A turnover when you're already moving somewhere and then it's a turnover in your end, like, that breaks down defense, zone defense. Shots on goal do, and turnovers do. So don't turn it over. Get it out. And then if you're a forward, be a little smart about that and see that my guy's very likely to hack it out. I'm taking off, right? And then I'll get there. Like, cut off the ice. And so there's a lot of things you can add to it to make it more friendly to ice the puck, and back, not this old school thing we had where it's like, never shoot an empty net until you get the red line. Like, why not? It's end the game 3-1, game over. Right. I mean, but again, you're likely to miss, fine, whatever, but
you should have faith also in yourself to, if you're going to take your chances, you got to have faith that you're going to do something on that face off to make up for it. That's all. You just have to be ready to work hard.
Exactly. Just there's that on top. Hard. It's not a guarantee. Oh, he iced it. Oh dear. We're going to have a face. We're going to change our, or we can't change, but we're going to have our guys bear down. We were just in a battle. Now we're going to have to get to line up against them and have a chance to actually get possession. This is great.
Right.
Oh man. How about this one? This is a fun one. I thought I guess it would happen. We're going to have to go back a little bit pre real playoffs was with the, wasn't it? You said the Leafs guys, they tried to put themselves on the power play. They came off. The first unit was rested themselves. They were, had to get rest because they were on the ice. The second unit went out. First whistle, they jumped on or something. Is that what happened?
It was 14 seconds. Yeah. The so-called big boys, the Austin Matthews line, were on the ice, and they drew a penalty. But they'd been on the ice for a while. They were a little exhausted, so they went to the bench. And they were just on the whole time on the bench, just sitting there going, like, okay, next chance. Oh, we're going to go. And then, sure enough, quick whistle, soft shot into the goalie, covered it up, 14 seconds, that second unit, that power into that power play, and they hopped back on.
Yeah. When I heard that, I thought immediately, you hear a lot of these guys, some of the older commentators, they're like, oh, yeah, Messier would have, Gretzky, they would have just jumped over the boards in that scenario because they take control because they know, right? And I guess in those days, it kind of makes sense, like the difference was so great sometimes among the guys and all that. And just, it was a different kind of game. It wasn't as much of a, like, not everybody was as skilled as the top guys. And it's true today that they're not as skilled, but there's like such, there's such a good next unit on most teams. Anyway, the other thing is true. It's different these days too. The team, it's so much about how the team is playing and the team game and the whole management of the coach and all that, that it's not up to players to kind of do that kind of thing anymore. I just think it's kind of like, I'm basically saying it's inappropriate these days. The way I would do it too is like, it is true that if I were feeling it and I was like, I want to make a difference, I would look at the coach. I'd kind of be there going, doing something like that. Like looking at him, like thinking like, go ahead, but I'm leaving it to him. It's up to him to manage. He just deciding what's going on, right? Not me. I'm not going to jump over. I would never jump over the boards and say, I'm taking control of this game because I'm a leader. Like, no, you're not. He's running this thing. You can be chomping at the bit and show him you're ready. And coaches want that. People who are already ready to go, but they don't need that kind of thing. So I didn't like the sound of that at all. I mean, and again, if you want to have a good power play, teams that have a good power play, like a, you know, a record of that, it's because they have two units that rock it, right? It's like when it's not going, the second unit comes on and they're good second unit and you have to let them do their thing. That's part of your power play, is to have two.
Totally. And the other thing is, how important is line matching? Like, I know you have a power play and you want to take advantage of that situation and do what you can to score on it. But you also have to think about the shift or two after what you're going to do. So what I remember coaching junior, and there was another, I wasn't the actual head coach at this time, but our head coaches couldn't make the game for some reason. So I had to step on the bench.
Kirk
so
Muller.
It was a bench that I wasn't, you know, the main manager of. So I didn't really know how the players worked or whatever, but I'm like, 4-5 moves ahead. The shifts, I'm watching the other coach, seeing who he's putting on, and, you know, I got a plan. And I had a plan for this, for one of our top lines. I noticed a mistake in what the other coach did, and I was going to catch our top line. I was going to give them a chance against their third line instead of their best checking line. I saw a matchup that I really liked, so I was holding them off for one shift. And they didn't like that very much. And I didn't have time to sit there and explain to it. Like, I mean, things in hockey happen so fast. I don't need to report to every player what I'm doing at all times. And they, well, there was a whistle and they jumped themselves on. And who did they go up against? The other team's number one line. And then we had to catch them on a, like, on a half shift almost. And then I had to figure out, well, now what am I going to do? Now I got to figure out how to get my third line in. Now, and I also had a plan to get my fourth line players involved because I'm a four line coach. I don't like people to rot on the bench. And you have to make sure you pick your moments when you're putting them out. And you can't pick your moments when every moment you have is being stolen away by people who are going to run the bench for you.
These vigilantes.
It's not like the old days when Gretzky could have 6 and 7 minute shifts and you just say, okay, he's going to do something. We'll just sit back and watch. Like, it's not like that.
That's part of what I was adding. I was trying to say what was different about the old days. It's also true they could have longer shifts. It was just a different, whole different thing than what's going on now.
Because there was back then, there was guys that were in shape, and then there's guys that were smoking a cigarette in the intermission. Like,
yeah, exactly. Wayne's eating hot dogs in the intermission and stuff. Like, give me a break. So these guys, so that's what you have to understand. This is, it's your coach's bench, and it's not anybody else's. You can talk about it after the fact. You can go and have a meeting with your coach. You can say, here, what's going on in these scenarios. Here's how I feel in this time. But you do not make moves like that in the middle of the thing. And I just think it's so brutal that they thought that. Like, and then, you know, who's running this thing? The game is so tight that these coaches are thinking all the time. They have a plan. Even you in a junior game has a plan, right? It's like, these guys have a plan. You don't have a plan. You just do, you know, you get ready and play your best, right? But anyway, I'll calm down on that one. But like, coaches are running the bench. Let them run it. That's what they're the pros at that. You're the expert at playing. You're not the expert at making the choices about who's playing and when and why.
Mm-hmm. And people thought, oh, well, they got rid of Babcock because it was all about Babcock. And yeah, it should be. Just like Columbus is all about Torts. Just like Team Canada was all about Wayne Gretzky when he took the media and said, no, like, he said something and all of a sudden the distraction was on him. You need to have that coach that is going to be running the show. You have to know that it's their ship.
Arizona is all about fear of Rick Tocchet, like I told you.
Fear of Rick Tocchet.
All right. Yes. So I want to go on another one, another scenario type thing I'd love to talk out with you is this idea of putting out your top power play when the game's you know, when you're crushing the other team. So we got the Montreal game. They were up 5-0 against Philly. And then Kirk Muller was behind the bench and all that, in for Claude Julien. And then they put out their top PP. And you told me that they asked Kirk about it after in the media. And what did he say?
He said our power play wasn't very good against Pittsburgh. It was a problem. So they needed to practice. I would never disrespect anybody. I was just trying to get my top unit some more time to work on some things.
Okay. And then Claude Giroux, they interviewed him as well. What did he have to say about it?
And the quote I saw was just, I noticed. I saw it. I don't have any comment on that at this time. So, you know, he's walking away and he's got it in the back of his mind. Like, oh, these so-and-sos. And he's just at home stewing about it right now. You know, he is right in that bubble when they're playing Settlers of Catan together. Can you believe they did that? You know.
Well, so where are you at with it? I'll let you go on this one first.
Look, it's not the California Penal League. Like, you don't – it's not about – I don't know. Like, it's the NHL. Yes, you always have to be ready for every scenario. I laughed. It almost reminds me of the time when I was, like, writing for Montreal for the hockey writers. I was a Montreal, like, reporter almost. And there was I forget who it was. I can't remember his name. But anyways, a defenseman that's, like, that hits everybody. And he threw a hit on a Calgary Flames player, I believe. Or was it when Jerome McGinley took exception to this hit anyway? There was 8 seconds left, and it was like 8-1 or whatever, and Buddy just crushed one of the players on Jerome McGinley's team, and Jerome went after him and tried to get him. And said, you can't do that. That's disrespectful. There's less than 10 seconds left. You don't – and I'm thinking, I wouldn't throw that hit myself because I'd just be like, let's just get out of here. The game's over. But I'm not surprised that people in the NHL play till the buzzer no matter what. It happens all the time. There's like an obvious four, like it's a 4-2 game. The goalie's pulled and the puck gets dumped into the corner and the game is clearly over. But someone will inevitably go chase that puck down in the corner and throw one last hit and pretend they're mucking it up. Look at me, coach. I work hard right till the end, even though we're down 4-2. And then there's like a scrum and everybody grabs onto each other and there's all these fights. And they just go home and it's like, what did that have to do with anything? So yeah. You have to expect these kinds of things in the NHL, I think.
Mm-hmm. I'm okay. Like when you're down 4-2, I can almost imagine going in and getting one last hit because you're just frustrated and you want to show like nip them again, especially if it's a playoff series. But like, but in a regular season, even just kind of give them something, show the coach that I've been trying. People are playing for jobs. They're playing for everything. But regular season, I see a little more of if you're really taking the long range approach to it. If you're like drubbing a team, you might like let your other unit get some practice or something, or really just right. Do it for the sake of, and also for the sake of showing, look, we're being sportsmen. Now, sometimes 3 or 4 goal leads are not safe these days, so you got to be careful. But if you're like 6-0 up or something, right? But in the playoffs, I have zero problem with that, right? I have zero problem with what happened in this game. Like, you're in a playoff series. It's the Stanley Cup playoffs. We just talked about OT, 5 OTs. Yes, don't try to trim it up with anything that's gonna cheapen it. Same thing in this. It's like you're losing, but guess what? We're trying to like get our power play out there and see if they can work on a couple things. See if it's exactly what Kirk Muller said. I have nothing really to add to it except for that, but just to emphasize that's exactly how I feel about it. When I first heard, I was like, "Who's complaining about that? Who's thinking that's something not good to do in this scenario? Get your power play some time. It's the playoffs." This is serious. No yes. problem with that at all. Regular season's different, you know, youth leagues, whatever, all that stuff. But when the stakes are high, you know, go step on it. Step on the throat, right? And it's not even stepping on the throat. It wasn't even about that. I mean, if the series was over, but, well, even then, you're looking to the next series. When it's, you know, if it were 5-0 and it was the last game, like they were going to win, this is the clinching game, okay, you don't need to put them out. The season's over. You're going to win the cup. Put out your fourth line on the power play, whatever, right? Okay, I'll take that. But this is game 2. Are you kidding me? Yeah, so I don't want to hear any more of that garbage. What about, speaking of garbage, you're upset about this the playoff record still. Remember we were talking about before? Give me more of how it's like squeezing you more now.
Look, there's so many things that are coming out now. Like, all these little piddly things that you don't even think about. Like, I can't remember. Someone on Philadelphia is now the first player under 25 to have scored two goals in a playoff game since Claude Giroux. And it's like, if we're going to get this nitpicky about it,
call up the Guinness Book.
I'm going to get nitpicky about how that wasn't the playoffs. They were like, Milan Lucic, he's on a 5-game point streak or whatever. I mean, I don't remember if he got a point game two, but whatever. Game one, he got all these points, and he got 5 points in the first round, and it's like, great. Now he is on a 5-game point streak. He's the first player to open the playoffs with a 5-game point streak for the Calgary Flames in however long or whatever. And it's like, I got to take exception to that. No, he isn't.
Right.
It is not the playoffs.
It is not the playoffs. We have to say clearly.
Columbus, Toronto, in their game, their preliminary round, the play-in round, folks, it's called a play-in round. And they're in game five of the play-in round. Not a
qualifying round. To qualify for what?
Qualifying round. And they say, Columbus has never won a game five in playoff history. And then this is the first game five, Columbus. First of all, no, it's not, because it's not in the playoffs. They got them to the playoffs. And second of all, this is a completely different game five than any other game five that they've ever played. This is like a game seven. Put their game seven stats up for it.
Yes, at least. Nonsense. If you're gonna say that stuff, then at least say this is their game seven history or something. Like, it's not true, but just more than a game five.
Don't call it game seven. Just say elimination game or something stupid. Why game five? Who cares who's won game fives before anyway? What are we, baseball? We don't need to know.
Whoa.
How many times Columbus has... Well, seriously, they have stupid stats. Like, how many times has a guy hit off a left-handed pitcher when
bottom of the
Joe Blow was sitting in seat seven, a row four, on a Tuesday night when the game started at 4:07 instead of 4:06.
That's the kind of stat. Pinch hit for that guy. His is no good, right?
Great. We don't need to know these things.
Yeah, and I'll say on all that, I'm right on board with that. You know, and good for like Milan with the, you know, this is still, as I said, it's do or die. It's definitely postseason in a way. Like, it's still the qualifying round, but it was still like, what I'm saying to them is it's do or die. It's all on. You win or you go home and all that. So it really is important games, but I'm not counting them as playoff stats is all I'm saying. Right. But I'm still saying it's important games and Milan is stepping up and good for him, but I'm not going to say that he has a playoff streak. I'll take that away from Milan. I'll say sorry. I won't, not to his face, but I'll congratulate him, but I'm not going to give him the playoff stats. You know, so it's all good stuff. And these guys are playing, they're Warriors playing in these big games. I'll call them big games, but they're not playoffs. Don't give me that.
Give them credit for the accomplishment, but don't give them credit under the playoff statistics.
Yes. Okay. I'm doing that there. So with all that playoff stat talk, just put that stuff back on the shelf and keep it out of our face because we're not having it. All right. Now, as far as everyone else, let us know what you're having. Who you having? Who are you picking in these series? We're at 1-1 in most of them, so it's still pretty legit to you know, make your call. Get in the comment section and tell us. Tell us what else is going on in the playoffs that you want to hear us talk about or that you want to talk about, and we'll really much appreciate that because it's a way more fun to feel it's interactive with you guys. So for now, just go ahead and enjoy all your hockey and enjoy the playoff action. Josh, we'll see you next time, and everybody, we'll see ya. I don't know. Some of this stuff to me, it seems too like, wah, wah, wah. Like, grow up, man. It's big boys.
Yes, there's hockey. Nothing there. There's nothing there. Just go win game three.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.